When's the night and the day the sort of way?
Right, it's very common. It's very common when people travel across the country or abroad. It's very common that people take parcels with them. People like to send parcels to their children in the Bochum Yeshiva, children there itself. And very often, more often than not, they don't discuss what's inside these parcels. So Shaila is, what's the chiyuv of a shoma in such a situation? The shoma has no idea what's inside. So is he chayav to pay if he is careless with this item? If he's careless with this parcel, is he mechuyav to pay? What does this mean? It's based on, the reason is that a shoma that accepts to look after an item or a parcel, so he's mechuyav to look after it. And if he's pesheya, whether he gets paid or whether he doesn't get paid, if he's pesheya, if he's careless with the item, he has to pay the full value of the item. Is the halacha the same when he gets an item that he has no idea what the value is? Would you say that he's also mechuyav to pay the full value? Would you say no? He doesn't know what it is. He can't say he accepts on himself responsibility if he doesn't know what it is. So there are a few variations of this shaila. One scenario is, what would be if a sender tells the person taking the parcel, I've got a parcel for you, and he intentionally misleads him. He tells him that inside the parcel is just a few schmontzes for his grandchildren, but really inside there's a few months' rent for his children. And that if this person would be careless with it, would he have to pay? That's number one. Okay. Number two, if he would give him a parcel, and he tells him there's money inside, or there's jewelry inside, but he doesn't tell him the value or... Don't tell you the value or how much money is inside. Don't tell him anything. And it's a damas of money inside, yeah. There's a stack of money inside, but don't tell him how much. He doesn't ask. Nobody speaks about it. He just says money inside, jewelry inside, don't tell him how much. And the person's pesheya, he loses it. What would Allah be in such a case? And thirdly, the last case is, if he gives him an envelope or parcel, and he doesn't say anything at all. He says, please, can you take this with you to wherever you go? You're going to London, take a parcel with you. And the person says, no problem, I've got room in my car, you can even put a suitcase in. Puts a suitcase in the boot, and the driver goes off, and when he's packing the car, he leaves the boot open, and he gets the phone rings, he goes inside, he forgets about the suitcase, comes back, and it's gone. What's he mechuyav to pay? The person comes along, and he's got Eidim to say there was thousands of pounds inside. It might have actually happened here in England. Somebody gave an envelope to one of the courier services to take, I think it was to London, and he told the person, the arranger of the courier, that's got money inside, but for some reason it didn't get to the driver. The driver didn't get the message. He got the envelope with £16,000 cash inside. He put it in his coat pocket and put it at the back of his chair. The courier didn't only take parcels, he also took passengers. And when they stopped on the service station, he went to be excused, and one of the passengers, unscrupulous passenger, decided to take advantage. He rummaged through his pockets, found the envelope, and disappeared on the motorway. At the service station, £16,000 was enough to make his own way, and he dissipated it. Shaila is, what is a shame of a pay for such a thing? He had no idea there was £16,000 aside. On the other hand, but he took an envelope. What's our luck in such a case? So let's start with the Gemara. A few minutes on the Gemara. The Gemara?
He paid it.
That's a good point. But here, it could be that if it was, what would you say? Is it a peshia to leave an envelope at the back of your seat?
Yeah.
And to go to the services? So lechoyt a pshia. So even if it be a shema chinam, he would have to pay. All shemim are lechoyt to pay if they're pshia, if they're careless. So let's start with the Gemara. Gemara says in Baba Kama Samach Beis, Omar Rava, hanosin dinah zahav leisha. Somebody gives a dinah zahav to a lady to look after, and he tells her hizori boshal kesefol. It doesn't look like gold. It's not obvious what it is. He says hizori boshal kesefol. Please look after this silver coin. So the Gemara says, Poshabov, she's pesher with this gold coin, and then she only has to pay silver. Why only silver? Because she could say, Kasper kabili olai, Zava loy kabili olai. I didn't accept myself to look after gold, only accept myself to look after silver. She told me it was silver, only have to look after silver. Gemara says a similar case. That person asked his friend, can you look after a pile of grain for me? So he said, fine. He piled up a grain pile of wheat and covered the outer layer with barley, which is a cheaper commodity. So Gemara says, the Shema looks at the pile, he sees barley, he assumes it's all barley. If he's Pesheah, he only has to pay the value of barley, the cheaper commodity. Why? He can say, Sar kabili olai, chiti lo kabili olai. I accept myself the barley and not wheat. Addition Gemara. The Motcha takes this Gemara a stage further. The Motcha says, he was asked a shayla. Reuven, the Yid, lent money to a guy. And the guy gave him a mashkan, gave him a sword, as a security for the loan. Reuven took the sword, and he lent it to his friend Shimon. I don't know, rightly or wrongly, he lent it to his friend Shimon. Shimon was peshaya with the sword, and he lost it. And now the guy informed Reuven that this sword wasn't a regular sword, it was a very expensive sword, and he demanded that Reuven pay him the full value. Reuven turned to Shimon and said, you are peshaya, you are careless with my sword, you pay me the full value. Shimon said, I didn't know it was an expensive sword, it's a regular looking sword, why do I have to be choshish that maybe it was an expensive sword? He said he didn't want to pay. So they went to the Motcha. Motcha wanted to restrain him. Back of the Gemara, Baba Kama, the Motcha brings down the Shaili, he was asked. And he passed in that he thinks that's like the case of the Gemara. Although it's not exactly the case of the Gemara, but says the Motcha, just like in the case of the Gemara, that Isha can say, I only accept to myself the value of silver. So too, Shimon, who borrowed the sword, can say he was a Shoyl, and a Shoyl is also one of the Shomrim. He can also say, I only accept to myself the value of a regular looking sword and not the value of an expensive sword.
Without speaking.
That's what the Azishtha in Motcha. Mashal's very upset with the Motcha. Mashal said, you can't compare. In the case of the Gemara, says the Mashal, the person told him clearly, this is a silver coin. So the person accepted a silver coin. Why should we say he accepted on himself more than a silver coin? But in the case of the sword, Reuven gave Shimon a sword. He didn't speak about the money. Says the Mashal, Shimon Al-Karachach accepts on himself the full value of whatever he receives. Mashal brings an interesting kind of ram. Mashal says, if you give somebody precious stones to look after, and you don't tell him what they're worth, precious stones, and let's say they're worth £5,000, and the Shomer, he comes afterwards, let's use Peshaya with them, and he says, I thought they were only worth £1,000. Would anybody have a minute that he could say that, I only thought they were worth £1,000?
Why did he say £1,000?
He made an estimate that in his, he's not a professional, but he made an estimate, he thought they were worth £1,000. So he says, Mashal, of course not. And why? Because he says that, he doesn't explain why. Mashal just says it's obvious that a person who accepts precious stones, he accepts on himself whatever they're worth. So too says Mashal, if you accept a sword and you don't speak about the value, so too you're accepting yourself the full value of the Shmira. But actually, in the Mashal, Shachan Tase is not doing that. In the case of the precious stones, you know you're not an expert, you accept precious stones, you accept on yourself the full value, you can't start saying that you thought they were worth £1,000. You know you're not an expert, you have no right to assume that. But in the case of the sword, if it looks like a regular sword, it looks like the regular swords which have a market value, then you can say that you didn't accept on yourself more than the market value of what this sword looks like. How are you supposed to know that it's an expensive sword? It's actually in Shach and it's actually in Taz. So the halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch, he brings down the Gemara, passing like the Gemara, that you give a person a coin, which is a gold coin, you tell him it's silver, you only pay silver. So too says the Shulchan Aruch, like the Motcha, you give somebody a sword, and you don't tell him the price, and he loses it, and Machmas is Peshia, and it comes out it's an expensive sword, says the Shulchan Aruch, like the Motcha, you also have to only pay the low amount, not like the Mashal. The Shech and the Taz, they both agree with they bring the man the Mashal, they argue the Mashal, they agree with the Shulchan Aruch. But they say that the case of the Mashal, where the Mashal says when it comes to precious stones, then the Shech and the Taz say that we agree to the Mashal. In the case of precious stones, there the Shema would be Chayav. Although the first two cases, the Shema wouldn't be Chayav.
Okay, he has no right to assume.
Yeah, he has no right to assume that the stones are not precious stones. And are not worth whatever. He's not an expert, so he has no right to start making assumptions. Now, if we go back to our three shaylas as well, the first case was the person gives a person an envelope or a parcel and he misleads him. He tells him that inside, nothing inside, a few shmontas from the grandchildren, cost you a few pounds, nothing to be nervous about, please can you take the steroids as well? The person says, no problem, I don't mind, and off he goes. If he's peshaya, he puts it in his pocket and he puts it on the where you put the luggage on top of the thing, and when he takes it out, his jacket's upside down, the envelope falls out and disappears. How much would he have to pay? Even if the person could prove it's thousands of pounds, nothing, a few pounds of shmonsas, that's l'chor in for Gemara. Gemara said, you tell somebody it's kesef, all he has to pay is kesef. That's l'chor quite clear. The second case, where if you give the person taking the parcel, you give him a vague description, you tell him there's money inside, there's jewelry inside, and you don't tell him how much. So what's our l'chor here? So here l'chor, this also l'chor, this l'chor would be the case of the Mashal. Mashal says if you give somebody precious stones, so a person is not an expert, he has no right to start making assumptions how much it's worth. So too, you give a person a parcel, you tell his money inside, he's not a novice to start making assumptions how much is inside. He knows it could be whatever fits in an envelope, whatever fits in the parcel, it could be anything. Tell him, you give him a parcel with jewelry inside, also it could be anything. So l'chayra, according to say the mashal and the shach and the tattoo agree with the mashal, you would have to pay the full value of what's inside. Why is that asmachta? If he knows, with precious stones, just like with the mashal says, you use precious stones, you know you're not an expert, you think it's worth £1,000. Whatever the value is, even if it was £50,000, you're supposed to pay £50,000, even though you have no idea. So too. That's what L'Chayr would come out, Sa'ilaki the Mashal, Shachta, everybody L'Chayr would agree with that. The third case, I'm not sure, maybe you can help me out. What would be the case when you give him an envelope, and you don't tell him anything, or you give him a parcel, you don't tell him what's inside? So on one hand, you could say, this is like precious stones. A person knows he's not a novi. Why is he making assumptions that inside the parcel is probably something not worth very much? Maybe it's a shaitel, somebody's sending his daughter a new shaitel, it costs £5,000. Maybe it's money they're sending his children to pay rent. Could be anything. So l'chayr, according to should be the same as number two, and according to the mashal, l'chayr you have to pay full value, and according to shach and tas. My only other tzad is that maybe you could say that when somebody gives, what would you say? If somebody gives a parcel to something, it doesn't say anything. Could you say that if it was being expensive, you would say something. So then maybe the situation gives off the impression that it's not worth very much, just like the shach and the tas. Say that in the case of a sword, that a regular looking sword gives off the impression that's not worth very much. So even though it's worth a lot, but if the sword speaks for itself and says that the sword is not worth very much, so then you don't have to pay very much. So too, maybe in the case of a parcel, if it doesn't say anything, the situation describes that it's not worth very much, and maybe you wouldn't have to pay the full value.
There's no value.
No, so if he's got aidim, if he's got witnesses, like in the case of the...
What will he say? I thought it was nothing.
He thought it was nothing, but have you got a right to say that you thought it was nothing? Because you're not a novi to know that it's nothing. You know that it could be a shayt inside, it could be money inside, it could be jewelry inside. So if you know you're not a novi, then why are you making an assumption about what's inside the parcel? It's just like in the second case. So how much should you pay? So if the person came, like in the case that we started off with, that if a person gives a courier, he goes to the company that takes the parcels and he says, here's an envelope, open it up, count £16,000, closes it and he gives it to the driver. So now he's got witnesses to say... The courier who arranged it gave it to the driver. The driver was pesher. The driver put it...
He should have told him.
So then you have to know, is he pesher by not telling him? But at the end of the day, the driver should be mechuv to somebody. He received the parcel, which he knows there might be inside money, might be inside jewelry, might be inside anything.
The courier speaks
he should, but he didn't.
No, it's going to be the driver's problem. It's not the owner. They have to sort. The owner gets it from the courier. Courier, the driver, have to buy
it out. Why would he get it from the courier?
Because he's one of
the sponsors. But the courier wasn't for share. Unless you want to say that's a pesher that he gave it to somebody without telling him what's inside. That you can discuss. Yeah, so they have to know what the responsibilities are to each other. But I'm just trying to bring an example of a case where there's witnesses that there's money inside, £60,000 cash inside. It was given to a driver. The driver had no idea what's inside. We have witnesses to say, so we know it's £60,000. So can the driver say, I had no idea, Sam Potter? Or do you say, no, you know you're not a novice. Why are you making assumptions? You know it's an envelope. It could contain anything. Either you ask. If you don't ask, then you accept whatever's inside. That's what it could be. That I'm not sure. I spoke to a few people about it. There's different opinions. And it would seem that if it goes to the interior, they only would have to make these shikulim exactly where to go from here. Another variation, what would be in the case where if you give somebody an envelope and you tell him clearly what's inside, you tell him there's £20,000 cash, do you mind to take it to my child in Israel? Somebody told me that he's got a son living in Israel and the landlord wants the 4 years rent up front. How's he supposed to come up with it? But the money has to come up with it. So he sends an envelope, let's say I don't know how much the rent is now, let's say he comes up with £20,000 cash. Now here we have a different issue. Here to take £20,000 cash is illegal. You get stopped out. If you officially you have to declare it when you get to customs, I don't know exactly what you declare, maybe you have to pay tax, and I'm not sure exactly what the reason is, but at the end of the day, you have to declare at customs. If you don't declare at customs, then you might be detained there for a couple of hours, maybe you get a fine. You're definitely in for a surprise if they catch you. So now, what the halacha be if somebody takes an envelope, he's naive, if he doesn't realize that it's illegal. He takes £20,000, the person tells you, I don't mind paying £50 for your teira, and please take this envelope of £20,000. He takes the envelope, he puts it in his pocket, and he puts it in the cabin at the top with all the luggage. He takes it out, and by mistake it comes upside down, the money falls out, and he gets to the destination, the person asks where's the money, he looks in the pocket, I'm really sorry, it disappeared. If he would ask somebody who knows that the halacha, he might have a good claim at hand. The Maramor in Rish Sadi Aleph brings down a Marik and says that he discusses a case where somebody gave somebody sorim or books, whatever it was, that was there was some legal reason why he had to declare tax, and he didn't know about it. So the Ramon says, brings from the Marik, that the person can say that it was a Shmir Batos. If he would know that he'd get himself into trouble, he can say that I accept the whole thing was a Tos, I never accepted myself Shmir at all. He brings an interesting guy, he brings a case of a person accepts on himself to look after a show. And it turns out it was a Nakhan, it was a dangerous show. So then the Gemara says that he only has to pay. The Gemara, I don't remember if he tells not to pay anything, or he has to pay Chatzi Nezek. So Gemara, the Marik wants to bring a rav from there, that like the Gemara says over there, the person has a tiny say, I never accepted myself such a cow. So too, the Marik says that at the Shema can say, I never accepted myself Shmira, which is going to lead me into problems. So too, if a person accepts on himself to take an envelope, there it's all, he's £20,000, he thinks what could be wrong, nothing wrong, but if he would know that if he'd get stopped, then he'd get stuck in customs for a few hours, then you could say, I never accepted the Mustafa Shemir at all. So if he would know, he would learn this Ramah, then even it comes out when he lost this money, he didn't get the customs, it never happened. But because he took this money, and he was Mekabel Shemir at all, so if somebody's not a Shemir, he's Bashir, he's not Chayav. Only Shemir is Chayav for Bashir. So then he could say, I'm not Mekabel to pay a penny, even though there was £20,000 inside, he would be able to say, I'm not Mekabel a penny. I heard somebody wanted to say, to take this a bit further, somebody wanted to say, what would be if you take also meat? If you take meat for somebody, and also Bashir, He stopped, you should have put it in the fridge, you did put it in the fridge and it went bad. Could you also say the same thing also, it's illegal to take in meat to another country. If you'd get stopped, then you'd also get into trouble.
You do it yourself.
No, it is. If it was for yourself, you'd do it, because you'd really fit there is.
You do it for Yen as well.
Then you have to know. If you do it for Yen, I don't know, it depends what happens. If all the worst case is they'll take away the meat, so good luck. You go in, they look at your meat, they take away the meat. Sure, it would be difficult to say that had you known you would never accept it. Because you would have accepted it. You would have taken it and then checked it out. So I don't know. If they could fine you or they detain you, then you have a time. So there you have to know. So there, the whole thing would be based on, could the Shema Taina that had I known, I'd never been mekabel with myself on the Shmira. If he could say that, had I known, I'd never been mekabel to the Shmira, then he'd potter. But if he wouldn't be able to say that, then he wouldn't. So there is one more variation. I wasn't sure how to get to it. There's one more variation. What would be if you give somebody, it's actually happened. Somebody gave, Bochur min Yeshiva, he gave somebody his glasses to look after. And the person didn't know how much the glasses were worth. And he took the glasses and he put on the chair next to him. Somebody came along and sat on the glasses. So now, l'chor, he's Shia. He should have paid for the glasses. So we're fine, I'll pay for the glasses. Somebody else, the person sat down. So you have to know. Do you say he's a mazik because Odom would lo'ilom? But you say no. Like in Darshan Odom, it's been in Bedrochim. So too, when a person who sits on a chair, doesn't have to look exactly what's on the chair. So let's say he can't be tevei from that person disappeared. Whether he's a mazik or not a mazik, I don't think he's a mazik. But let's say he's disappeared. The person who put it on, the pshia, you don't get to take some of the glass and put it on the chair, it's a pshia. It's bound, somebody's on it. So it's now the bochus that came and said, these glasses, he had an issue with the eyes, and the glasses were specially made for him, and they were very expensive glasses, cost a few thousand shekel, much more than regular glasses. So how much would you have to pay for these glasses? Oh, so l'chor, this is the shayla of the sword. What's the halacha of the sword? So here we have the machloikas, the motcha, and the mashal. So what's halacha? What do we do with this machloikas, motcha, and mashal? Shulchan Aruch passes like the motcha, and the shachat has to bring the mashal, but they argue the mashal. So here the shach says that the chor is a suffolk moment, and amud v'chel avarai. He wouldn't be able to charge the shema more than the value, like the Shulchan Aruch passes. And the Shema would be potter. So to summarize, first case where you give somebody something to look after and you mislead him, you pay the lower value. Second case where you tell him that there's valuables and you don't tell him how much the valuables are worth, then you'd have to pay full value. That's a disadvantage of the Shema. And the third case, when you give a person a parcel, you don't tell him anything's inside, L'chayra, that's the our suffer, l'chayra, you would have to pay also the full value, like the second case. And the fourth case, when you give somebody something illegal, there he the Shem wouldn't have to pay anything. That again would be to the advantage of the Shem, he wouldn't have to pay anything if he could find out that I'd never accepted myself such a shmir. It's